Welcome to The Calm Wealth Matters. I'm your host, Richard Nelson. Today, we're going to talk about something deeply important to the future of our Commonwealth: how Kentucky's K-12 education system is performing, how it's funded, and whether our current system is truly serving students and taxpayers as well. Now, at the heart of this conversation are some simple but profound questions, starting with, are Kentucky's children getting the education that they need to flourish? Are schools, and in particular K-12 public schools, being faithful stewards of the tax dollars that we entrust to them? And are families being given real options when the system does not work for their children? So we're going to start out with three big developments. One of the biggest news items on the public education front was a Supreme Court ruling last week. It was the Kentucky State Supreme Court. They struck down a 2022 charter school law, and the court unanimously ruled that the law did not meet the requirements of the Kentucky Constitution to provide for an efficient system of common schools across the state. They said that charter schools were operating outside the system of common schools, and therefore they struck down the law. So that's one of the major developments. And Kentucky, by the way, is one of just a handful of states that does not have any school choice options for parents and families. Another lawsuit filed on behalf of Kentucky students challenged the quality of public education in the state. It was in front of the Franklin County Circuit Judge, Philip Shepard. He gave the green light for this court case to proceed. Essentially, these students were arguing that Kentucky's is not meeting the needs of students. All right, the third point for us to talk about in this program is academic performance. How are Kentucky's kids, how are they performing? And we need to look at that. So funding, performance, and then school choice. Now, I want to make something clear. This program is not about attacking teachers or local public schools, but this is focusing on accountability, stewardship, and providing a good education for our children. This should be something that we're all in favor of across the spectrum. Now, where we may disagree is how we achieve these things. How do we keep our public school system accountable? How do we steward those limited tax resources? And how do we ultimately provide a good education for our children? Those are areas of concern for all of us. And of course, there's going to be some give and take and some pushback when it comes to how we achieve these things. But I do want to make it clear, this is not just a overall criticism of the public schools or teachers. There are a lot of good teachers who are pouring their hearts and their souls into teaching students in the classroom, and they should be commended and applauded and encouraged. And actually, I think, by the way, just a little side note, they should be rewarded. Those teachers who are doing a good job, they should be rewarded to a higher level. There should be some incentive there to incentivize excellence in the classroom. Not only incentivizing excellence in the classroom, but putting a priority on rewarding teachers in the classroom as opposed to increasing more administration and creating more administrative positions with high salaries. And we'll talk about that in a little bit as well. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. So, all right, Kentucky's academic performance, as I said, is lagging. We're going to talk about NAEP scores. We're also going to talk about an analysis from the Kentucky House Leadership Communications Department that did some analysis on the NAEP score, and they've compared it over a long period of time. But I want to jump into just unpack a little bit more the charter school law that was struck down. So in 2022, the Kentucky General Assembly passed a law that allowed for charter schools. Just to be clear, charter schools are public schools. They operate with public tax dollars. There are rules that they have to follow. Essentially, what they do, though, is they cut away a lot of the red tape that's imposed on traditional public school classrooms. There's more flexibility there for teachers, for the testing. for other things. But the state Supreme Court struck this down and said that these schools were operating outside of the common schools requirement in the state constitution. According to one education analyst, Gary Houchins, he's a member of the Bluegrass Institute. He is a professor at Western Kentucky University. He said, according to the court's logic, the governor's scholars program, the Gatton Academy, Kentucky School for the Blind and the Deaf are also operating outside Kentucky's common school framework. And therefore, those programs should be struck down as well. Still waiting to hear from a response. I don't expect it from the state Supreme Court. They've spoken and they speak through their rulings. But I have not heard a good response from the other side who favors this ruling striking down charter schools. All right. One of the things that the court took issue with was the funding mechanism that tied specific pilot locations and the required transfer of per pupil funds. And again, they argued that the legislature overstepped their constitutional limits. By the way, I'm going to try hard not to get into the weeds. I know sometimes when I do these programs, I get into the weeds a bit, and I don't want to lose you in the weeds. So I will try to touch the high points here. All right. So regarding charter schools, it looks like if Kentucky is going to have charter schools or any other form of school choice, it will have to amend the state constitution. And we all know what happened in 2024. There was an amendment that would have allowed education opportunity accounts in Kentucky. That bill failed, and it failed miserably. It was voted down by a 2-to-1 margin. And I don't expect an amendment to be placed on the ballot this year. And I'm not sure what is going to happen. Actually, I do have an idea. You got to wait till the end of the program. And there is something that is in the works right now that will give students somewhat of a choice in Kentucky public schools. All right. So how is Kentucky actually doing compared to other states when it comes to education performance? Let's look at the NAEP scores. NAEP is the National Assessment of Education Progress. It's otherwise known as the nation's report card. According to the most recent NAEP release, Kentucky is right about in the middle of the pack. They're in the national average as far as fourth grade reading and eighth grade reading and fourth grade math. They're all at average in those categories, but they're below the national average in eighth grade math. This means that we're not at the bottom, but we're not leading the pack either, especially in middle school math, which is foundational for high school success and for many careers as well. But look at the trend over time when it comes to the NAEP scores. When you zoom out for, let's say, a 10-year period or longer, you look at the NAEP data, and it says that Kentucky students are overall performing worse than they were around 2013 through 2015. So 10, 11 years ago, Kentucky public school students were doing better in the NAEP across multiple grades and subjects. Even though there's been some improvement in recent years, again, long term, 10 years or more, there has been a decline in education performance of Kentucky students. Let's look at the graduation rate in Kentucky. Their four-year graduation rate is high. Over 93% of Kentucky students are graduating. That's what it was in 2025. The five-year average is 94%. So that's a short-term increase. Over the last 4 years, we're seeing an increase in graduation rates. But here's what some critics are saying. On paper, we're graduating more students, and we're seeing some improvements over the last 3, 4, 5 years, some improvements. Yet, are we graduating students who have basic reading, math, and critical thinking skills that they need to succeed in life, or are they just being moved through the system? That's what some critics are saying. I'm going to move on to another lawsuit. There is a lawsuit right now that's been working its way through the court system. As I mentioned just a few minutes ago, Philip Shepard and Franklin County Circuit Court allowed this lawsuit to move forward. It was brought up by students in Kentucky. And these students said that the state legislature is not meeting its constitutional obligation to provide them with an adequate education. And Judge Philip Shepard said, hey, there's merit to this case. These kids have standing, and he is going to let it move to the next level. Again, these students are claiming that public education is failing them. It's leaving some students behind. It's failing to equip them with the skills that they need for adulthood and to be prepared for life. And they're asking the courts to hold the state accountable. By the way, this is reminiscent of what we saw with a major overhaul in Kentucky's education system in the early 90s, the CARA, Kentucky Education Reform Act. Now, that dealt with the funding of public schools, and it redid how schools were funded. Of course, there were some districts that had a lot of money, a very robust tax base, some school districts that were very poor, and they weren't able to provide the same things that the wealthier school districts were. But here's a question. Is money the most important indicator to whether or not you're able to provide a good education for students? Now, if you were to talk to homeschool parents or some of the private school parents across the state, you'd find with a much smaller per pupil spending budget, you're seeing that there's tremendous success. Homeschoolers, again, small budget. Many of the private schools are operating on a shoestring budget. But a couple of the conditions that are really, really important in both of those options for schooling are intact families and the amount of parental involvement in a child's education. Is there accountability in the home? Is there encouragement in the home? Are parents sitting down and reading with their children? Are they doing homework with their children? Friends, that is irreplaceable. And regardless of the money, which money is helpful, we need resources to pay teachers and to keep the lights on in the schools and to provide for books. But there's something even more important than money. You need to have committed families, parents, willing to take the time and to invest in their children. And I think that that is one of the things that we overlook in this discussion about education. The number is something like 40% of Kentucky kids today, ballpark figure, 40% are in a single parent household. And God bless the single parents who are raising their kids. But it's not meant to be that way. It's tougher for one parent to pour into their child and to give their time and energy, especially if that parent is working. So this is part of the discussion I don't think that's considered and that we don't talk about enough.
There's a proverb that says, when a land transgresses, it has many rulers, but with a man of understanding and knowledge, its stability will long continue. The idea here is that when people live without regard to their neighbors and without moral boundaries, then you need more government to restrain people who've gone off the rails. So if people are going to flourish, God's truth must be embraced. After all, God tells us who we are, what's our purpose, and how to live in harmony with our fellow man. Christians should understand what God's word says and how to think biblically about the issues so that they can engage well. To stay up to date with what's going on in Kentucky, subscribe to CPC's newsletter. Go to CommonwealthPolicyCenter.org to subscribe, and you can also find other resources there. Thank you, and may God bless you.
Let's talk about funding and stewardship and whether or not Kentucky taxpayers are getting the most bang for their buck. I was on the phone with a state representative a while back and talking about the criticism that he and his colleagues receive regarding public education. And Republicans are often accused of cutting education dollars, regardless of what they do. But is that true? Have they actually cut education dollars? Well, consider this. Consider a few numbers and come on into the weeds with me for just a bit. I'll take you out in just a few minutes. But consider this. Under the last budget passed into law by Republicans, they increased the SEEK funding. This is a state portion of public education funding. They increased it by 3% to $4,300 in fiscal year 2025 and $4,500 in fiscal year 2026. That's a 6% increase. They allocated on behalf of school districts an additional almost $10 million in 25 and $20 million in fiscal year 26 to district payments to their teacher retirement system. Actually, Republicans have shored up the teacher retirement system program. They provided an additional $84.3 million in 2025 and $124.2 million in fiscal year 2026 for pupil transportation. I could go down the list. I know I'm in the weeds. They include an additional $10.7 million over the biennium to equalize all previously authorized, the nickel tax. I'm way into the weeds. I'm just going to stop right there. I've got a list of several increases that they made in the last budget, 2024 budget. Consider this. Here's some high points. Total elementary and secondary education funding by school year. In the 2019-2020 school year, the State General Assembly allocated in 2020 and 2021, it was $4.8 billion. In 2021 and 2022, it went up to $5.6 billion. 2022-2023, $5.3 billion. Today, this year, the 2025-2026 school year, it's $6.1 billion. So look, just in a matter of these seven different fiscal years, we went from $4.9 billion to $6.1 billion. This was done by Republicans in our state legislature. The percent increase going back to 2019-2020, 27.2%. Per pupil funding, it's $3.365 billion. That's a 20% increase over these last 7 years. Look, the legislature is looking to increase the SEEK funding. These are not indications that Republicans are cutting education funding in our public schools. They're increasing it. By the way, half of the state budget, approximately 50%, is spent on education. It's the largest single expenditure we have out of our general fund. Keep in mind, by the way, when we think of funding and we think of the schools and resources, it's funded by taxpayer dollars. That's your money, that's my money. This isn't free money. It's not falling out of the skies, but it comes out of our pockets. And it's important that anytime taxpayers are funding something, that there is transparency and that there's accountability. We entrust these resources to the State Department of Education and to our local school districts. That means that they've got to be good stewards. They should be good stewards of our limited resources, and they should produce results, not just big budgets and not just fancy buildings, but they've got to produce results. So how are Kentucky students doing? Let's talk about this. I want to look at Jefferson County Public Schools first. Jefferson County Public Schools, the largest school district in Kentucky. Of course, this is Louisville. And we're going to look at their test scores in 2024. At the elementary level, 24% of elementary students, first through fourth graders, are proficient in reading. In middle school, the number goes down to 22%. It stays the same for high school. So basically, one out of four elementary school students in Louisville schools are proficient in reading. It's closer to one out of five in middle school and high school. Those comparison on the other end, distinguished in reading. In elementary school, it's 13%. In middle school, 13%. In high school, it's 12%. So about half of the number are distinguished in reading. So these are the achievers. These are the kids who are excelling in school. You've got 13, 13, and 12. Almost double of what those who are not at the proficient level are. Let's look at math proficiency. In elementary school, in Jefferson County Public Schools, 23% are proficient in math at the elementary level. 20% of middle schoolers are proficient in math, and 19% of high schoolers. In comparisons, in the distinguished in math category, 8% of elementary school students are distinguished, 8% of middle schooler students are distinguished, and 9% of high school students are distinguished. All right, let's go back to the NAEP. I want to share a comment that the House Majority Leadership Communications Office said this. When they looked at the NAEP scores, again, this is the nation's report card, they said this. Even when using the Kentucky summative assessment, that's the state test scores, which offers an inflated assessment of our students' performance, not a single category shows a majority of K through 12 public school students performing proficiently in key academic areas. Now, they go on to say, when you compare the NAEP, the National Assessment of Education Progress, which is a much more accurate indicator of how we're performing academically, at the very best, we've not made any net improvement since COVID. So this is the last 6 years, no net improvement. And in some cases, have lost ground. Kentucky's grade four mathematics score in 2011, 2013, and 2015 were higher than its 2024 score. So again, over a long period of time, 10 years or more, you're seeing a decline in the NAEP scores. Here's the House Leadership Communications Office said this: keep in mind that Kentucky's educracy is always looking for ways to present data that make our performance appear to be good, even if it is not. For example, they will use overall NAEP scores to claim Kentucky's in the middle of the pack, when in fact, even NAEP says that the only way to offer a true presentation of how public schools are performing using the NAEP is to break it down into subgroups performance. That is, looking at Black populations, low-income student populations, etc. They go on to say that the bottom line is that while we've made some improvements compared to the declines seen in as a result of COVID, in many cases we have not improved beyond where we yet, friends. K through 12 spending continues to increase. One of our guys, Mike Harmon, our state outreach director, was on KET recently, and the state commissioner of public education, Robbie Fletcher, was there. And one of the resounding refrains was, we need more money. We need more resources. They talked about resources for transportation. They talked about increasing SEEK funding. How about we show what we're doing with the resources right now? How about we show in a transparent way, how much are we spending on teachers in the classroom compared to administrators at a high level? In Jefferson County Public Schools, by the way, there is an inordinate number of administrators making $100,000 or more a year. 20, 30 years ago, those jobs were not there. What if we took those resources, had fewer administrators, and poured into the classroom, maybe smaller classroom sizes? Maybe a teacher teaching, instead of five classes, teaching three classes and hiring more teachers. I don't know. One-on-one time seems to be a good investment, but I speculate. I'm getting ahead of myself here. But here's the point. Public tax dollars should be justified. They should be transparent how we're spending it, and it should show results. Again, this should be something we're all in favor of, whether you're in the public school machine, if you will, or part of the public school system, or a parent or just a taxpayer without kids in the schools. We've got to ask ourselves, are we serving students well? And I think if you look at some of the education outcomes, some of the test scores, and I know that students are much more than a test score, but test scores are an indication of whether or not kids are learning. It's a reflection of what they know as far as the NAEP, what they know with math, and what they know with reading. You know, the job of public education is to prepare our young people to read, to do basic math, to manage a household budget, to hold a job and to raise a family, and then to participate responsibly in civic life. These are some of the goals for our public education. I want to talk about school choice as we wrap this up. Now, because the state Supreme Court struck down Kentucky's charter school law, Kentucky has no other options. There is no school choice in Kentucky. We're one of a handful of states that has no school choice. Latest I looked at it, I think there was only one other state, South Dakota, which had no school choice. So we're one of the most restrictive states in the nation when it comes to school choice. Consider states like Florida or Arizona. They've broadened access to charter schools and private school scholarships programs. They've got education savings accounts that allow parents to customize their children's education. Those states are doing well. They're doing better than Kentucky. You know, choice is a good thing. We like choice in many areas of our life. But why is it in Kentucky, when it comes to education choice, the courts say no? Now, I get it. Look, there is a constitutional provision that defines a charter school and what can fund it. And it's important that we follow the Constitution. But perhaps the Constitution needs to be changed and amended. I want to go to, in the last minute here, to a real possibility for some form of choice. And this is a federal scholarship tax credit where if you donate $1,700 or allocate $1,700 to go to a state-granting organization, essentially an entity that is going to collect this money and then give out scholarships, you get that federal tax write-off, and that money can be used right here in Kentucky. Now, here's the thing. Governor Andy Beshear is opposed to it. He doesn't want to have anything to do with it. He calls it unconstitutional. However, this is federal tax dollars. It's not state tax dollars. This was created by the One Big Beautiful Bill that passed last year. And many states have signed on to it. Of course, these are Republican states with Republican governors. There's a bill, two bills actually, Senate Bill 1 and Senate Bill 88. I'm sorry, House Bill 1 and House Bill 88, which would allow Kentucky to participate in this federal scholarship tax program. It would, House Bill 1 would allow the Secretary of State's office to award, to receive, and then to create a program where the scholarships are distributed. House Bill 88 would allow the auditor's office to receive those resources and to then distribute them to needy families. So these two bills are in the legislature. I expect House Bill 1 to move through. The Speaker of the House, David Osborne, signed on. That's an indication that it's a priority bill. It's likely to move forward. The state Senate, when they get it, they will, I believe they'll likely pass it as well. And they're very pro-school choice, or giving options, more options to our families and to our children. All right. We are out of time. I'll close with this. If you care about either of these bills, if you want your legislator to participate in the and to get behind House Bill 1 or House Bill 88, you can call the legislative message line and ask them to support it. Again, House Bill 1 or House Bill 88. The legislative message line is 800-372-7181, 800-372-7181. Call, leave a message for your legislator. Takes just a moment to do, and your voice does make a difference. All right, with that said, we're out of time for the Commonwealth Matters. Thank you for joining us. And until next time, may God bless you.